morning, Church of the Valley. It does feel like we are in the midst of summer, right, with the weather and the heat. You know, my daughter and I, back in spring, we went down to Rogers Gardens. You ladies probably know where that's at, Newport Beach, and we bought a bunch of flowers thinking they would survive the desert heat. Guess what? No, I don't care how much water you throw on those suckers. They are not going to survive up here, but hey. Welcome to summer. Okay, here we go. Okay, I remember as a kid, elementary school kid, you know, one of the favorite things us boys would love to do was to play basketball. We were so in the basketball. And one of the first things that you would do before you start the game is you would pick teams. You would choose sides. But there was always an argument. There was always an argument over who got who. The best player usually got chose first, and then the scrawnier, wimpier kid always got chose last. Let me tell you, you never want to get picked last. Never. That's just straight embarrassing. But after we would pick teams, everybody would go through and shout it out who they wanted to be. One kid would be like, I'm Scottie Pippen. Another kid would be, I'm Charles Barkley. But then the best player, they always got to choose first, but they would always choose Michael Jordan. Dude, we're talking MJ. To us kids, there is nobody greater at basketball than Michael Jordan. We are talking five-time MVP, six-time NBA champ, averaging 30 points a game, highest in NBA history, 50-point playoff games. Dude, the guy could dunk a ball from the free throw line. Who can do that? Man, to us kids, man, Michael Jordan was the cream of the crop. Now, imagine this. Imagine if the best player on your team was indeed the man himself, Michael Jordan. What do you think that would do to a scrawny, wimpy kid like me in elementary school? What do you think that would do to my confidence? I would probably soar through the roof. I would say I could take on any team with MJ in the whole high desert, any high school team. Is a small, wimpy kid. I could take a shoot. Let's go down to Cal State San Bernardino. Let's go. Bring on the call chains. I got Michael Jordan on my side. You know, my confidence would go through the roof. I would feel that I could take on any team. You know, Church of the Valley has a basketball tournament coming up. I think it's here in August. It's coming up pretty soon. I'm super excited. But, man, imagine if you can recruit Michael Jordan on your basketball team. I would sign up for that, and I would think that I could take on anybody. Nobody could stand against us. You know, here's the point. It pays to have an expert on your side, an expert that is for you and wants to see your success, especially when you have opponents, enemies that surround you and want to take you out. You know, as Christians, we have enemies on all fronts. You know, the Bible says the devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Man, that's a formidable enemy. That's one of them. You know, Scripture also says we have our own sinful flesh as well, that we constantly have to battle as it tries to pull us away from a life that we live pleasing to God. You know, Paul said this in Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul said this. I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Even the Apostle Paul battled and wrestled with sin. You know, that's another enemy that wants to take you out. Then, of course, there's the curveballs that life throws us as we try to navigate through. And man, it can seem a bit overwhelming. Folks, it's at those times when we feel that our enemies are all around us that we realize that we could use a real expert on our side. Well, if you think that having Michael Jordan on your basketball team would be a real confidence booster, just think how great it would be when you realize that you have someone even greater on your side, battling those opponents in life. Someone who can deliver you from the clutches of your enemies. I bet your confidence would go through the roof. knowing you have somebody that's on your team. This morning, we're going to look at how we can gain confidence as we realize that God himself is on our side to deliver us. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 124. So if you have your Bibles, turn there, your phone apps, or we'll have it up on screen. Psalm 124 is what we're looking at. And we are continuing on in this series in the Psalms of Ascent. We've described what that meant. We are just taking kind of a snapshot on what those praise psalms are. But Psalm 124, and from our passage this morning, I want to give you a couple of ways we can bolster our confidence in God's deliverance as we battle our enemies. Okay, Psalm 124. Let me go ahead and read it to you. It says this: if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been our side when the people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like the bird from a fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Okay, if you have notes this morning, here's your first fill. I want you to fill this in. Number one, we gain confidence in God's deliverance through reflecting on what he has done. We gain confidence in God's deliverance through reflecting on what he has done. You're going to find this in verses 1 through 5. Now, if you do have your Bibles this morning, which I always encourage, man, take a hard copy of your Bible. But if not, that's okay. If you have your Bibles this morning, you'll notice probably right there underneath where it says Psalm 124, there's a little subtitle there. Probably says something like Psalms of Ascent. But then this psalm gives us the author of who wrote it. It probably says something like this: of David. David was the author of the psalm, and if you're familiar with David as king, David faced enemies all around the nation as he tried to lead and guide that nation. He was constantly battling enemies who not only wanted to defeat Israel, but wanted to take them out. And David starts his psalm off by saying, if the Lord had not been on our side, that's verse 1. He said right off the bat, if the Lord had not been on our side. In fact, he repeats it. Notice how he says it twice. He says it once for himself. If you're familiar with the story of David, you remember how, man, he had to constantly battle enemies, even in his younger years. Old King Saul was chasing him through the wilderness. I mean, the dude got a spear chucked at him from this guy. He's constantly having the battle, but he's remembering, man, if the Lord hadn't been on my side. But then he wants the whole congregation, let all Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. You know, again, Israel battled enemies. And if the Lord hadn't been on their side, it would have been disaster. You know, their survival wasn't by their own strength. Their survival wasn't by their own strategy. Their survival wasn't by their own intelligence or even sheer coincidence. Oh, we just so happened to win these battles. It's not. It was the Lord. God was on their side. You know, I think we all could share our if it wasn't for the Lord stories. I think we all have them. You know, if it wasn't for the Lord, that financial crisis would have completely wiped us out. You know, if that job didn't come through in time, if that check didn't come in the mail, we would have been sunk. We would have been done. Or if it wasn't for God's deliverance, that depression would have swallowed me whole. Man, I was in a dark place. I was in a dark, dark place. But then someone intervened. Someone helped me out. Someone got me the help that I needed, and I was delivered from that depression. You know, if it wasn't for God's intervention, that addiction would have dragged me into destruction. Man, I was addicted. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. I kept it secret. I kept it quiet. But someone was willing to intervene into my life and get me the help that I need. And I broke that addiction. You know, if it wasn't for God sending that person in my life, I don't know where I would be. You know, I think we all have our stories we could share. But here, David wants the whole congregation to reflect on them. So he says, if the Lord had not been on our side when the people attacked us, this is what he says in verse 3. He says, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Notice what David's doing. He's wanting them to reflect on what God has done for them. Now, it's important to understand that these were God's people in a covenant relationship with them. God had promised Abraham, who was the father of the nation, that he had blessed those who blessed you and cursed those who cursed you. That's Genesis chapter 12. That was one of the provisions that covenant had provided for them. I have it in your notes so you can fill this in. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. Now, I know that sounds academic. That's what we call it, the Abrahamic covenant. And it became the basis of Israel's protection and deliverance from invasions. Okay? The Abrahamic covenant became the basis of Israel's protection and deliverance from invasions. God took that promise that he made in Genesis chapter 12, and he made it into an unconditional covenant in Genesis chapter 15, and God was going to be faithful to that covenant. And that's the key to understanding this psalm. God would always be on Israel's side because of his covenant with them. God made that promise a long, long time ago. And as David reflects on the past, he realizes what would have happened if God welched on that promise and not have shown up. They would have been overwhelmed. It would have been disaster. Years and years ago, when my wife and I first got married, the very first thing that we wanted to do was we wanted to find a home. That's what you do as a young married couple, right? You want to carry your bride across the threshold, right? That's what you want to do. But I remember, 20 years ago, the economy was crazy high. The housing market, there's no way we could afford a home. I mean, they were showing us homes built in the 80s for like buku bucks. I ain't doing that. So I had a little bit of construction background, so we decided we're going to buy a plot of land, and I'm going to build a house. Whew, a little sweat equity. I'll tell you what, man, that's a ton of work. That is a ton of work. It was fun. We got to draw up plans. We'd go to model homes and kind of get an idea of what a 10 by 10 room, but we didn't really know what we were doing, but we drew it up, and by golly, I just went after it, and started building the thing. And I remember we got all the way to the drywall phase, and I started hanging the drywall. And I remember the delivery truck came, and he dropped off that load of drywall, and I stacked all the drywall in all the different rooms where I was going to hang it. And so I decided to start on one end of the house. I remember starting on that end, and I took a sheet of drywall. Mind you, we're talking 4 feet wide, 12 feet long, 5/8 inch thick. This thing was heavy. And I remember trying to horse this thing onto this drywall lift that I had and crank that thing up to the ceiling and try and get it set in place and screw it in. Dude, it took me an hour and I was dying. I was literally sweating. And I can remember after finishing that, I sat down on my little pile of drywall and I looked across the house and I remember thinking, what in the world did I just get myself into? I was feeling crazy overwhelmed. But it was at that time when I was sitting there, I get a phone call. And it was my dad on the other end. He said, son, just chill. Why don't you just go ahead and go home? And tomorrow, your brother and I will show up and we will knock that thing out. And I was like, all right, dad. So I go home, I sleep uneasily. And I show up the next morning, guess who showed up? My dad and my brother. They showed up, and within a couple days, we knocked that thing out. Folks, I was feeling so overwhelmed, but I was so thankful that my dad kept his promise and that he showed up to help me. I was just elated, and we were able to finish that project. Folks, here's David. He's reflecting on a time when his enemies were about to overwhelm them. And he says this, if God wouldn't have showed up, if he wasn't on our side, we would have been overrun. Notice the images that he uses in verses 3 and 5. He says, if God wouldn't have shown up, look at these images. He says, they would have swallowed us alive. He's referring to his enemies. They would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Notice they're all flood-like images. Our thoughts and our prayers goes out to those in Texas who know this image all too well. That was a horrific, horrific tragedy, a horrific loss. And we pray for comfort for those who have loved ones that were lost, and so those who are still searching, because they had to endure that. But God used the image of a disastrous flood to describe the devastation that Israel's enemies would have had. But guess what? They didn't. Because God was the dam that held back the enemies from rushing over them like a flood. That's the imagery that David's giving us. David is reminiscing on those times that God did that. He did it. Folks, I think for us, you can write this down. We need to remember that God is the dam that keeps our enemies from washing over us. God is the dam that keeps our enemies from washing us away. You know, sometimes we face pressures that feel like waves crashing down on us. We deal with people or circumstances that want to swallow our peace and take away our joy. We can even walk through seasons of life where we are drowning in sorrow, drowning in anxiety or fear. And here David says, if God hadn't stepped in, we would have been swept away. You know, God wants you to think of those times when he delivered you so that your confidence would grow, knowing that, hey, he did it before. Guess what? He can do it again. In fact, we can even share that confidence with those in the community around us who are currently going through what we experienced in the past. And you can encourage them to have confidence in the Lord as well. So we gain confidence in God's deliverance through reflecting on what he has done. Okay, second, we gain confidence in God's deliverance through praise for what he has accomplished. Fill that in. Number two. We gain confidence in God's deliverance through praise for what he has accomplished. So first we reflect, and then we praise. So after spending some time recalling God's past acts of deliverance, David says in verse 6, right in the middle of the psalm, he says, Baruch Yahweh. Baruch Yahweh. Praise be to the Lord. Or blessed be the Lord, sorry. Blessed be the Lord. You know, to bless God means to recognize him as the source of all blessing. And by doing so, you praise him. So your NIVs will translate it, praise be to the Lord. Or some translations might even say this, the Lord deserves praise. Either way, this call to praise is the focal point of the psalm. David is trying to get you to see that this is the very crux of the psalm. Remember when I told you the psalms have symmetry? That they have shape? Well, this psalm is structured so that your focus moves to the middle, to where this exhortation is located. In fact, I put it in your notes. But the structure in the song is structured in a way so that you can see the beauty of how it's put together. Notice at the start, at the end of the psalm, their help is found in the presence of the Lord. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, you know, our help is in the Lord. It's all about the presence of the Lord. Then as you move towards this call to praise, you'll notice it's sandwiched between God protecting them from dangers. David is purposely structuring the psalm this way because he's moving your eyes to a focal point. Of course, right in the middle of this psalm is this call to praise the Lord. It's just a Hebrew way poetry works to get you to see, and this is the point, that praise is due God because he is with his people delivering them from their enemies. That's where David is trying to get you to focus. So you praise God for it. You know, God is able to accomplish for you whatever deliverance you're needing because He is with you. So how do I gain confidence in that? It's by offering the praise due Him for accomplishing that task of delivering you from those enemies. And as I am praising Him, it reminds me of what He can do. And folks, if He did it before, he can do it again. Verses 1 and 5, David moves from what would have happened had not the Lord been on our side to what actually did happen in verses 6 and 7. He says, in verse 6, he says, "Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth," referring to the enemies. "We have escaped like the bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped." Notice what God actually accomplished. He didn't let them be torn by their enemies' teeth. Now, I live out in Milk Hills, out in God's country. No, I'm just kidding. One of those directions. Oak Hills. But on occasion, when I am driving to my house, there's sometimes I've seen a bobcat run across the road. And about 9 times out of 10, that bobcat always has a rabbit in its teeth. It's about to snack down on a tasty meal. That's the imagery that David is using here. They're in the enemy's teeth. But God did not give them over to the enemies to be eaten. In fact, He did not let them be devoured by the enemy. He's not letting the enemies win. That's the idea. God had rescued them from even the teeth of the predator. He also uses another image when He says, "We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped." You know, they were able to escape the hunter's snare because the trap was broken. Of course, the inference there is that God had broken that trap. The bird was caught, but the trap was broken. Man, that's deliverance. They were delivered from the teeth and they were freed from the trap. That's freedom. That's the freedom that God can give. That's the deliverance that He can offer. You know, some of you might be sitting here, not just remembering a past deliverance, but you're in need of a new one. You're in need of some divine intervention, and your confidence in God is waning. And if that's the case, then it's time to do a little reflection on those times in the past when God had broken the trap that you were in. And after you do a little reflection, then that's when you get your praise on. That's when you cue up your favorite worship music and you just get lost in your praise to the Lord. Man, if you want to gain confidence in God's deliverance for your problems today, you praise Him for what He did yesterday. That's how you are going to boost your confidence in the Lord. Reflecting and praising. So we gain confidence in God's deliverance through reflecting on what He has done. Number two, we praise Him for what He has accomplished. And lastly, this is number three, we gain confidence in God's deliverance through acknowledging who He is. We gain confidence in God's deliverance by acknowledging who He is. Verse 8 begins by saying that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Folks, it is in the name of Yahweh that He reveals that He is for His people. He's for His people. That He is with them and that He is on their side, delivering them from their battles. No other name can do this. This is a name that is above all names. How? What does the text say? Because He is the maker of heaven and earth. The sovereign creator who is in full control over all His creation. This is the God whom you are praising. So you acknowledge who he is, the sovereign creator who is on your side. And he's here to help. A man was driving an old Ford on a lonely road when it chugged to a stop. He was at a loss about what to do since he didn't know much about cars. However, despite his lack of knowledge, he got out, opened the hood, and began tapping here and there, jiggling this wire and that, scratching his head as he was at a complete loss as to what to do. It was at that time when he heard the roar of a car coming toward him. As it got closer, he saw that it was a brand new Lincoln that was pulling over to the side of the road. A kind stranger stepped out of his car, walked up, said, "What seems to be the trouble?" "Oh," said the frazzled man, "I just can't get this old Ford to go." "Well," replied the good Samaritan, "let me see." So he began to tinker under the hood and asked, "Say, do you got a screwdriver?" After he was handed the tool, he quickly adjusted something, then got inside of the old Ford and it started right up. "Say, thanks a lot. That's great. Hey, I didn't catch your name. Who are you?" Putting his coat back on, the man said, "Well, I'm Henry Ford. I didn't know a little bit about the cars that we made." You know, God ought to know a little bit about what he has made. I would think so. After all, he is the creator of everything. And his name is not Henry Ford. His name is Yahweh. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And you can trust that he is on your side. And is more than capable to help you and to deliver you from your enemies. As we close, I just want to acknowledge that some of you are going through a struggle right now. And your confidence in God is beginning to crack. Because you just want to get past your problem. You want to put it in the rearview mirror and move forward with your life, but you can't because you don't think God is capable of helping you. You know what this psalm would say? It would say, first, you got to reflect on those times in the past when God has delivered you. And don't tell me you don't have any of those. You got to reflect on those times. If you're wanting to move forward, you start by looking back. You got to spend some time and remember those times of deliverance. And after you remember those times, number two, you praise God for them. You praise him for them. And when you start making a habit of that, then you will find yourself showing the church and you can't help but belting out the worship songs. Because you can't stop praising him for what he has done. You get lost in praise. And in the midst of your praise and your worship, you're acknowledging who he is. The creator of everything. Everything who is in complete control of your situation. And is more than capable of delivering you and helping you. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, when you begin to practice this stuff, that's going to boost your confidence. It's going to give you a shot in an arm. It's like having a real MVP on your team. You know, as a kid, we all wanted MJ on our team. We all wanted MJ on our side. But as an adult, we all want the maker of heaven and earth on our side. Well, guess what? He is. He's on your team. He is on your side. And he's here to help, to deliver you. You just got to trust him. You just got to trust him. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your deliverance. Your love, your care, your grace, your mercy that you show towards us as you deliver us from the enemies. Lord, I just pray that you help us reflect on those times when you have shown up. Lord, I know sometimes we come to church on a Sunday morning and we have problems that are so heavy. We feel the weight, we feel the burden, Lord, and sometimes we just, we don't know what to do. Sometimes our enemies are just, we feel like they're just surrounding us. Lord, help us to remember this psalm, Psalm 124. Same situations that David had faced and what he had learned has been shared to us, Lord, through your word. Lord, I just pray that we reflect on those times, and Lord, as we remember those times, help us to just praise you for them. Help us just to get lost in praise and the beauty and the wonder of you and how you help us, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge who you are, Lord, the blessed controller of all things, all sovereign creator, Lord. Help us implement these things to give us a real confidence to face our enemies, to face our problems, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. Amen.